glad that you guys are here this morning, that I could be here this morning and just worship with you. And so can we just start and ask that the Lord would just kind of bless our time in the Word today and encourage us, no matter where we're at or what we're going through, that God's Spirit will just meet us right where we are. Would you join me with just a quick word of prayer? Father, I thank you for this opportunity that we can dig into your Word in the midst of our reality. And Lord, we don't have all the answers for why we are where we are and when it will come to an end, but nonetheless, help us trust you that even though we don't have the answers and we don't know all the things that are needed down the long haul, help us to trust you and grow in our faith in this season. We thank you for hearing our prayers today in Jesus' name. Amen. I saw the news this week. It was a news story, and you might have seen it. It was came up on my phone, and it said that over, I think it was 22 million Americans have filed for unemployment in the last 4 weeks. And I thought, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of families, single or married, working, who are at a place just kind of wondering, are they going to have enough to make it? Are they going to run out? When push comes to shove, are they going to have what they need? And I know if you've been with us over the last few weeks that this has been a returning theme that we kind of touch each week. And I want to keep doing that because I feel that's really the reality of where we are. And God has some hope to encourage us with in the midst of that. I think maybe you're close to retirement. And as you're nearing that stage, that milestone, you're looking at your retirement account and you're going, am I going to have enough to retire? Or am I going to have to work longer so that I can actually be able to do the things that I want to do when I retired? Or, you know, it just could be that you're just doing life and, you know, maybe you did lose your job. Maybe you've been laid off and you are just wondering, yeah, am I going to have enough money to make it through all of this? Or, you know, I'm spending a lot of time at home with my kids and helping them with schoolwork, and I've never done that before, and it's such a foreign thing to do, and am I going to have enough patience to be able to get through all of that? I don't know where you're at. You know, it's different places for different folks, but nonetheless, it's real. And so I want to take a place out of the Gospel of Luke. It's actually in Luke chapter 23. And I've got a little bit something different. In fact, I've got a screen over here with me today, and I'm going to have the verses up here in just a moment. But I'd love for us to look at Luke 23, beginning at verse 39. And that place in Scripture is where Jesus is hanging on the cross, and he's got two thieves. One is on one side, and one is on the other side. And he's, of course, there in the middle. And the thieves have this real quick, and Jesus, I guess, yeah. I mean, they have this conversation, and brief, albeit, but they have this conversation. And I want to go to that moment because Jesus has some words that can encourage us where we are today. So let's jump into that verse, shall we? So here it is, Luke 23, beginning at verse 39. It says that one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, talking about Jesus. He says, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. He said, "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence?" So two criminals, both hanging on the cross. And here's what this the second criminal, what he comes back and he says. He goes, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Talking about Jesus, he's hanging there and he says, look, this guy's done nothing wrong. So think of the thieves that you have there in that moment. Either side of Jesus. Now, both thieves are in probably, I would think, what about any of us would consider to be a chaotic moment, because life's end is right there in front of you and you're not escaping it. You've already been nailed to this cross. They've taken your clothes off. Basically, you're hanging there in your underwear out in public. People are walking by and they're just shaming you publicly. And here they are. So physically, their body's giving out. And so their mind is not thinking clearly. And so you, in both of them, but kind of maybe mostly the first one, you know that saying that says, hurt people hurt people? So this one that's mocking Jesus, here he is, life is running out. He feels shamed in front of all these people that are around him. And spiritually, he's hanging there and he's so frustrated and no doubt angry. And he mocks. He chooses to hurt Jesus with words. When you're hurting, do you ever hurt people with words? I know I have, and it's unfortunate, and we probably all do it, just about all of us at some point or another, or we have, but that's what he does. And in his hurt, he mocks and he casts his emotions onto Jesus out of frustration. And he spiritually doesn't understand that if you're the Son of God, then you ought to save us all and yourself at the same time. Well, think about the other guy. So he's on the other side of Jesus. Now, same thing for him, right? So he's stripped down to his underwear. He's hanging there. So he's shamed. So his dignity, just like the other guy, is just being cast aside. It's escaping him, right? As his life is escaping him in that moment. And he's spiritually struggling to understand how it is that in that moment, that the Son of God could have been put on this cross, because he didn't deserve being there. He didn't do anything wrong that would warrant him hanging there. And so spiritually, he's struggling. And so his faith and his emotions and physically and his intellect, they're just sort of escaping. And it's this idea, and for both of them, really, they're going through the same thing. And I think we kind of know something about that in the days that we're in, because that idea of escaping you, and it's out of your control, it's something I think we all wrestle or have been or maybe are wrestling with right now in what we're going through, because we don't understand it. And for some, it's, your peace is escaping you because you're so fearful about catching the virus. And that's a legitimate fear, especially, if you're a senior citizen or if you're in sort of that age range where you could be susceptible to really struggling with that if you were to contract it right now. No doubt. I'm guessing you're wrestling probably with that. And for others, it could be maybe that it has nothing to do with the virus. Maybe, you've been wrestling with some form of addiction and it's wearing you out, and you just feel like your strength to overcome that is just escaping you. Maybe you're in a relationship with somebody that you've been putting in a ton of work, and it just doesn't seem like it's going anywhere. It's just not fun. But maybe you feel like you got to be in it, and you've got to keep pushing and going, and you just feel like you're hitting rock bottom, and it's just really rough. You could be all sorts of places, right? Absolutely. I think there's a sense that we all know what it is to face the fear of running out of what we know we really need in our lives. And that makes me think about this virus, because you see, this virus is kind of like those thieves hanging on the crosses on either side of Jesus. Because see, thieves come to steal, potentially to kill or destroy. And that's what has happened. This virus has come, and it has stolen much, and it has killed. It has destroyed a whole lot. It has caused an extreme amount of fear and anxiety and stress and worry. And I imagine, it might be like me, there's been a night or two where I've wrestled trying to get a good night's sleep with the weight of everything that is just surrounding, me and my family, and pastoring a New Hope, having family in the community and just for the well-being of our church and the community at large. Sleeplessness oftentimes comes with that. And it's not fun, but that's kind of a reality of the stress of the moment when we are wrestling with the idea of, it's what we can call scarcity. So it's It's the idea that we fear running out. And so it could be life. It could be patience. It might be perseverance, to have endurance. It could be all sorts of things. But that's, for me, as I look around, I think that's a pretty realistic struggle that a lot of folks are having at one time or another. And it may not be overcoming you right now, but something that you get it, that you understand it, you know what I'm talking about. And so, one of the things that I've seen on Facebook is a ton of people encouraging a lot of our essential personnel. Have you seen that? So a lot of folks that have been writing, I've seen kids writing with chalk in their driveway, or going and visiting, keeping the distance, but going and visiting and just, waving and encouraging. And one of the cool things has been teachers, right? So that have gone to the neighborhoods around their school and just kind of waving and saying hi to the students, because they all miss each other, and everybody's wrestling with reality right now. There's been all sorts of good ways. I think that's been so cool. And if you've done some of that, I want to say thank you, because you have impacted folks more than probably you realize. And thank you for doing that. Thank you for making people valuable by choosing to love them in just a creative way that probably would not have thought to do in a time, right, in a normal kind of day. But you're thinking outside the box, and that's a whole lot of fun. But thanks for doing that. And when I see all of that, for me, what I notice is it seems to tap into what we all know is the problem today, that we need encouragement. We need to hear a message that says to us, in the midst of what we're facing, that God has more. God has more. We see limitations. We see only so much. We wrestle being tempted at times to stress over scarcity, the running out. And yet God, from His perspective, always says, I have more. I have more grace, and I have more mercy for you. I have more to give you than what you understand and what you're wrestling with today. God has more to give you in any situation than destruction can take away from you. Let me say that again. God has more to give you than any destructive power can take away. That's a powerful truth, and it is the truth. And I find that coming out of the end of the story in the Gospel of Luke. And so let me take us there again, back to the story. In verse 42, then the thief, right, says to Jesus, he goes, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So think about it. So this guy's hanging on the cross and wrestling with all things I've already shared with you. And he has this moment where he realizes, I think, that he can make a choice. He can choose to be like the other guy hanging on the other side, who's mocking Jesus in the midst of his fear and pain and anger and stress. Or he can choose to believe that the Son of Man, that the Son of God, the Savior of the world, has more to give him beyond what the destruction of the moment can take from him. And so he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And look at how Jesus answers him. Jesus says, truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. That's such a wonderful promise, because what Jesus does is to take that moment and he sees the situation and he knows what they're all wrestling with, and he hears the faith of the repentant thief, as we say in the church, or the sorrowful thief, the thief that's grieving, not only his situation, but that of Jesus. And Jesus chooses to honor his faith and to bless him with the promise of eternal paradise, this gift of eternal life, all for having believed. I love the promise. Absolutely love it, right? In the moment of scarcity on the cross, God's promise teaches that He has limitless grace to give and mercy to extend. God has more. God has more. And I love that as a mantra because I think back, for one, I think because it does a lot for me and encourage me. But when I look back over the story of the Bible, I'm not going to cover it all, but you know, I would direct us to just a few quick spots in there. That if you go back to the book of Lamentations in the Old Testament, and you don't have to do it right now, but in the book of Lamentations in chapter 3, there's a passage in there where in a time of struggling and grief and not understanding and just being sort of disoriented with the world, that the author writes these words. Says, "Certainly the faithful love of the Lord hasn't ended. Certainly God's compassion isn't through. They are renewed every morning." And he goes, "Great is your faithfulness." So what do we get from that? Every day, you and I, if we have our health, we're going to wake up. Of course, if we have a hope in the Lord, if we don't wake up, then we know we'll be with the Lord. But as we wake up in the morning or whenever we get up, then we can trust that God's mercy is not going to run out, that God's faithfulness is not going to run out. God always has more, right? And so maybe it is that I need patience to get through my day. Now, probably a lot of us would say, don't pray for patience because you don't want to know what's going to come on the other side of that. And yeah, fair point. And so maybe we could get to the same conclusion with just simply saying, God, I trust that your grace and mercy will be enough for me today to get me through this day, because you're faithful to always supply what I need. And so help me to trust you today. No matter what comes across my path, no matter what I'm thinking about or what I'm seeing, help me just simply to trust that your mercy, your compassion, your grace, your love will be renewed every morning. Help me to relearn that my situation does not determine your supply of grace and mercy for me. Let me take you to another one. You ready? So, the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 40:29, the prophet says this. He's talking about God, and he says, "Hey, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak." Whew, that just makes me feel good thinking about it, right? It just makes you want to puff out your chest, hold your head up high, and go, "Man, God is more than able," and because He is. And I love what that ought to teach us in a season like this, that no matter how weak I feel, no matter how much the threats around me may seem to minimize what you could do, that, Lord, weakness does not determine, does not minimize the power of your grace in my life. And so, God, I have hope, and I'm overjoyed. Let me take you to another one. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 118 says, "I was pushed so hard, I nearly died." You ever had those days you get pushed so hard, you're like, "It's killing me, I'm going to die, I can't make it," right? Right. So, but the psalmist says, "But the Lord helped me. The Lord was my strength and protection. He was my saving help." This is such a great little passage because, you see, the people of God, when they would go to at worship, they would sing this song because they would think back to all the times when they were under the gun, when the odds were against them, and they felt like it's the end. And yet, consistently, God was there. His grace was more and more available for them, and He made a way for them. He was merciful upon them. They wouldn't do right, you know, so they'd sin against God, and He would encourage them to turn from that and to trust Him and believe and follow Him. And so then they would, and then God would bless them, and they would be victorious, and they would consistently see that God is our saving help. It was just a powerful time in the life of the people of God. That needs to, I believe, be our mantra today. That no matter what we're going through, it may feel like, you know, it's the last inning and it's a full count. And this this analogy would be a lot better if we actually had baseball season going on right now, wouldn't it, right? So we're at the last inning, it's a full count, and here we go, two outs, last batter up, and we're going, I don't think I can do it. Then God's going, yes, you can. Yes, you can. I've got more than you need to see you through where you're at right now. I got you. Turn to me, believe in me, trust in me, and I will show you I can be and I will be your saving help in your time of need. God has more. Well, you know, if you want to go anywhere, often around here, church will hear me say, let's go to Jesus, right? So let's go to Jesus. There's a moment in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and Jesus is struggling with, he's not struggling, but he's just kind of getting hit with this barrage of opposition from people who just really don't believe that he is God's son, that he is the son of God. He's the savior of the world, the Messiah. They don't get it. Okay. And so, with the things that he's been doing, they think, well, there must be some sort of evil spirit on him. You know, it's like, oh, and Jesus steps up in that moment and he goes, hey, the thief enters only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came so that they could have life indeed, so that they could live life to the fullest. You know, if you look at that passage on the screen here, I want to point out, now I did two things. One, I made in italics the word have, and you notice the word live on the far side of the screen. And I did that on purpose. Because Jesus does two things, and they're basically the same thing, but I think it's worth pointing out today. So Jesus says that I've come that they may possess, they may have the promise of life with me in my kingdom. But he says, but really what that means is so that today you could live life to the fullest with my grace and my mercy ever present and available in your life. Right? What an amazing promise. Not just so that you could possess the potential, but that you could actually experience the reality. For those of you that know me, I've got a Jeep Wrangler, and it's a four-door, you know, and I can take the top off of that thing, and it's got a hard top on it, so it's, you know, it's a beast to take off. And so I can take the doors off as well. It can be a lot of fun, right? And so one of the reasons that I love Jeeps is that I have the potential to be able to do that. And what I find also is that that potential doesn't do me a whole lot of good as far as bringing me joy and a sense of happiness and satisfaction. If I don't ever really take the top off and the doors off at times and store them in the garage, which, by the way, it means we can't park any of the vehicles in the garage. So that might be why I don't do it a whole lot. But I love the Jeep because it has the potential. But what I've experienced is that when I actually take the top off and take the doors off and I drive around and I've got family with me and the sun is out, it's a nice warm day, and you know, it's not a cloud in the sky. And you know, hey, we've done it too when there were clouds in the sky and we got rained on. My wife and I have got plenty of stories of days that we drove the Jeep top down. We got rained on, so you get soaking wet. But anyways, I found that when I actually do what it was created to do, I have so much more satisfaction and fulfillment when I'm driving that Jeep. And I think that's a great analogy to the idea that God has more, is what Jesus said in John 10. You and I have the promise of his grace and his abundant mercy coming into our lives to enjoy life and the fulfillment, the experience of God's gifts in our lives. But if we don't act on those, if we don't lean into those, if we don't trust in his grace and mercy to be sufficient, it's kind of like leaving the top and the doors on the Jeep. You know, you could, but you're not. And so you just end up missing out on so much of what could be. God has more. And I would encourage you today to trust that that will always be the case, because Jesus' promises are forever. And you and I don't have to worry, truly, about whether or not we'll have what we need. Because when the Lord says, I will give to you, the Lord will give to us. He will care for us. If He says, I will give you strength so that you can stand, if I will make the weak powerful, if I will give you the grace to be able to endure and persevere, then He will do exactly as He said He will do. You see, Jesus did what He did so that we could have the life that He came to give us. And our heart, desire, and new hope is that you'll trust God to be that source of grace and mercy, to know the best life. And that really is the life that God has created us to experience. Not a life full of just potential, but a life experiencing all that He has to give. And in such a time as this, I believe that's critically important. God can meet our needs, and He can help us because He loves us. And you know, maybe you're sitting there and you're listening today, and you're thinking, you know what? I've run from God. I've run so far, grace won't catch up to me. Or maybe I've done so much that I know God would not be happy with, that there's no way that He's got enough grace to cover all that. There's no way God's got enough mercy that He would welcome me in. In fact, you might think that He will belittle you instead of blessing you through your faith. But that's not the God who has created us, saved us, and invited us into His kingdom through our relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world. Well, maybe that's not your lot today. Maybe you're just simply fatigued because you're so tired of being isolated. You're so exhausted with life not being what it's been. And it's just wearing you out. You're like, I've had enough. And maybe you're angry and going, God, I don't see how I can get peace in this storm because I don't have it. God has grace to give. He has more. Maybe you're trying to persevere over an addiction and you're really struggling today. Can I tell you that God has more? He has more power to bring you victory than you understand today. But He does need you to trust Him. He does need you to look to His Son, Jesus Christ, to understand the message of the cross, that we are all sinners who are weak and unable to have victory over sin and the struggles and strongholds of life. We do need forgiveness of our sins, and we do need salvation through a Savior. And His name is Jesus Christ. God has more to give. And perhaps as you're looking at life today, I hope that you will look at your life and not hear that I'm trying to minimize what you're going through, because I'm not. Whatever you're experiencing, it's legitimately tough. I imagine you are wrestling, and that's okay that you're wrestling. You don't need to feel bad about that. Just own that that's where you are. But still, God has more. And can I invite you to trust Him for that? I have a phrase I want to share with you today. It says this: grace and mercy are always available in Christ. That well will never run dry. And His grace and mercy will always arise to the need of the moment. In fact, it doesn't have to arise. In fact, it's already there. We just need to trust in His grace and mercy, especially when we don't see a way out or a way around it. Trust. It's a powerful act of faith. It changes so much for the good when we don't see how it could be good. And we think that it's all running out and escaping us. But God says, that may be what you see, and it's legit. Struggle is real. But I promise you, I have more. God's telling you He has more. And He will not forsake you or walk away or leave you high and dry. He will be there. And you'll be able to stand up. And you'll be able to be like that thief on the cross on the side of Jesus who courageously said, in this moment, I'm making a choice. I'm not going to mock Jesus in my pain. I'm going to choose to believe Jesus in the midst of my pain. And whatever runs out, but I believe that my eternity will not run dry. And we know this because Jesus said, in honor of that thief's faith, He said, today you will be with me in paradise. So the promise is there. We just need to believe. So my question today is, do you believe the promise that God has more? If you'd like somebody to walk with you, or any questions about that very idea that God has more grace and mercy to give in any season of life, would you let us know? You can connect with us through our website, your Facebook. You can email us. You can give the church a call. All of that information is available on our website. In fact, it's on the homepage at the very bottom. You can see it right there. And we love to hear from you. We love to come alongside and just partner with you. Take the journey, because we're all taking this crazy journey together. And so as we do it together, may we find hope in knowing that God has more, because He loves us and He is an amazing and wonderful God. My prayer today is that if you haven't before, that you'll give faith a chance. And I know that you won't regret it, for God will bless you. Can I pray for us this morning as we end our time today in worship? Would you join me? God, I thank you for this promise that you have more of what we need than we can understand. And that's why we can say that there is more to come, like we were reminded at Easter, because truly you're God who has limitless grace and mercy to give. And we're asking that your Spirit would help us to find a renewed hope and a strong courage and a boldness in these days that we're in to tackle each day, just one day at a time, believing that you have all that I need for this day, because you have more. And I'm going to trust you. And would you help me today? And I ask this in the precious name of Jesus, that this will be our prayer every single day as we move forward in this time that we're in. Lord, I thank you that you help us persevere to the end, where we will have our reward. But even today, thank you for the blessing of grace and mercy that makes our life so fulfilling, all because of you. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, guys. Thanks for being with us, and we look forward to being with you again next Wednesday morning for Seeds of Hope, as well as next Sunday morning for worship. Thank you so much. Lord bless you as you go. Amen.